Touchdowns.
Well, I've got a treat for you tonight. I've got a couple of guests in the studio tonight. Tonight I'll be talking to Sui Ching and also Susan Powell about the Migrant English Program at Swinburne University. Firstly, Sui, welcome to you, and can you tell us about this program and what it does?
Thank you, Bill, for having us over. I come from Swinburne TAFE, and we have this school called the Migrant English School, and this school caters for new migrants who have just come into Australia for less than 5 years, possibly even, you know, as new as a month ago or whatever. And they've come to acquire the language so that they could settle in.
Mm-hmm. That also includes refugees, I presume?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So it's migrants from all walks of life. Depending on our campuses, we have three campuses around Melbourne. Each campus has its own unique cohort. Yep, so...
We'll talk about the campuses a little bit later, but you also have a volunteer program where... The teachers, who are qualified teachers, they take in members of the public, sort of, say, like myself, because I've got to come clean.
Yes.
I am a member of the volunteer organisation. So
Yes. Tell
us a bit about the volunteers. We can help within the classroom helping the qualified teacher.
Yes. So anyone can apply to be a volunteer in this program. We just ask to have people with a heart for migrants, people who are interested in diversity, and being able to help our new students and migrants to acquire more of the language so that they can settle in.
So you don't have to know that much about English or English grammar. You just know how to be able to know how to speak it and to help other people along.
That's right. That's right. So you're not required to be a teacher, and you're not required to have any teaching experience. We just have a one-day training to get the volunteers get acquainted with the way things work. Most of the time, they'll be helping in the classroom under the direction of a trained teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when the class is a little bit too big, we might have two volunteers in a class.
Yep, just assisting the teacher in their activity.
Yes.
And Susan, you're a volunteer like myself. So how long have you been volunteering and why did you start?
Yes, hello. I've been a volunteer for 11 years and then the lockdown came and we all took an enforced break.
Yeah.
And other issues kept me away, but now I'm back for half a day a week.
All right.
I used to do a day a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a punt on this activity. I saw a notice in Lilydale Library many years ago asking, would you like to help migrants learn English? And I didn't think I did, but I was most surprised to find myself writing down the phone number given and found myself in a classroom very soon afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it from the start.
Yeah. So what did you love about it?
I loved the feeling that we were doing something worthwhile and that was valued by the college, by the students and the teachers. And it was enjoyable. It wasn't too taxing, but you could see that you were helping people who knew less English than you, that you were really helping them. You're a friendly face, which is very important.
Mm. Mm. And sometimes they light up, their eyes light up when you walk into the classroom, don't they?
Felt very valued and appreciated,
Yeah.
So apart from the teachers, sometimes volunteers are about the only English-speaking people that they are well acquainted with.
Yes, I found that out to my surprise, that a lot of students understandably avoided trying to speak English in the rest of their lives because they felt they weren't good enough at it. And we'd encourage them to speak to anybody, which is a bit daunting just for the practice, but they always had the volunteers to chat to. You were sort of encouraged to chat as long as it wasn't interrupting.
Mm. So what do you do in your classes? How do you help the teacher?
Well, you do anything that's wanted After a while, you get to sense what might be wanted. You help with the worksheets that are handed out or other activities that are going on. Sometimes the teacher will ask you to help a particular student or a group, and sometimes you can see that they're looking a bit lost and would like some help. So you find things to do, which is not hard at all.
No.
And sometimes the teachers will get you involved in the role-playing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I enjoy the role-playing. I particularly like being an estate agent.
Oh, right.
When the students come in and say they want to rent a unit, and I put them through the third degree of how big and why do they want to live there. And it's where you pretend to be a Centrelink person or a mechanic fixing their fridge, whatever. You give them practice.
Yeah. Or being someone at a store and they're wanting to return.
That's
a good one. Item. We role play in that.
Yes.
I also do one-on-ones, do you, as well?
Yes.
And one in a group of, say, five or whatever, just on one of the activities that the teacher has said that they should do. Yeah.
It gets to feel very comfortable when you've been in a classroom for a while. It's not like you're meeting strangers all the time. Hmm. And the students enjoy, I think, having the volunteers in a room with them. It gives them a bit of an adjunct to the teacher.
Yeah.
And it's just a very enjoyable activity.
Yeah. Okay. I found, the people with different backgrounds, they're all from mostly Myanmar out our way, isn't it?
A lot of.
Have you found that?
Yeah.
I found Myanmar.
Yes, now a lot from China.
China.
Yep. Other Asian countries.
Middle Eastern.
Yeah, Middle East is.
The
Iranian,
subcontinent.
But
a few years ago, there used to be a lot of Sudanese students.
So all right.
More or less disappeared. So you can almost track.
They still have a few.
Yes, there are a few. But you can almost track what's happening in the world by the makeup of the classes.
It's mostly Myanmar.
Myanmar and the Middle East at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some campuses have a few Ukrainians as well.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. It's very rewarding. I find it super rewarding. Mm. And it's fun. Mm. I have a lot of fun. The people are all so joyful too. And the thing I find, the biggest sort of tangible reward I get is at the end of the year, and often sort of at the end of each term, there's a luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
The students bring along some food from their, that they've cooked themselves and their recipes from home.
Yes.
And there can be dishes from half a dozen countries there. Mm. And I try and eat something of all of the dishes, at least something. And it's just fantastic.
Yes.
Sometimes you think, everything today was delicious. Occasionally not so, because our tastes are a bit different, but generally it's just, I love it. It's terrific.
Mm.
Yeah.
I personally learned quite a few dishes from our students.
All right.
And I'm starting to cook them myself.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right. And they're always keen.
Very educational.
Yes.
Food in Asia is probably their most talked about subject, I think.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first questions they ask you is, do you like the food? If they're Myanmar, from Myanmar or China, do you like Chinese food?
Well, food is very central to a lot of communities. It brings people together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we sit around and we get to chat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
In a very relaxing atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the memorable experiences you've had, Susan?
Oh, heavens. Well, I think I've had quite a few, and they weren't just confined to the particular classroom. Like every so often, the college ESL students have a concert, and I always love them, singing and dancing and whatever else people do.
Yeah.
That's always enjoyable.
Yeah.
We've also had heritage-type days where there's been displays in the courtyard and, again, people brought food and wore their own costumes and there were artefacts. Don't do that so much now, but in the past they used to be big occasions, so very enjoyable. And there's been craft times when we've painted Easter eggs or made Christmas things or or whatever. Yeah. So whatever you're good at, you might be able to to find a way of exercising it.
Some of the costumes we've seen are just amazing.
Yeah, well, the last concert we had, there were two South Sudanese ladies.
Yes. Oh, they were amazing. Yes.
And
yes.
They were dressed in just fantastic costume. Yeah. And they danced for us. It was incredible.
Stunning. Yeah, yeah. It was very stunning.
Yes.
So this is all the fun we get out of volunteering. It's fantastic. Yes.
Well, I say to people, there's no downside. Mm. And if for some reason you can't go on a particular day, or you need a week off for a holiday, or you're sick or something, there's total understanding.
Oh, yeah, the commitment is, what, probably a minimum of
two hours a week.
Yeah.
Some volunteers might volunteer for more than a day.
Yep.
You can rock in any time of the day when the class is on. So our classes start at 9 and finishes 2:30. Mm-hmm. With half an hour or 40 minutes break in between. And depending on the availability of the volunteers, they might rock in the middle of the morning and stay till the end of the day. Some of them don't have enough of it and they come 3 days a week.
Yeah. I come twice, two sort of half days.
Yeah.
But, and it's so flexible. You know, I had 3 weeks off. Part of it was during the school holidays, but part of it wasn't. And, mm-hmm. you know, you just say, look, I can't come. Mm. And it's that's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
When you're ready, come back. It's so flexible. It's terrific.
You get the feeling that whatever you can contribute is valued.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's no rigidity about when you have to be there.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. And I think, last term, I think sometimes, particularly the higher level students, need to get out into the community,
uh-huh.
and rather than just, because they know the words. When you hear them in the class, they know all the words, they know what they mean, but putting them together in sentences to Australian people or people who speak English as a first language is a little bit more daunting. So
yes.
I am encouraging them to get out into the community.
Yes.
So, and to also to be able, and their kids too, which is important, is for their kids to be able to talk to kids at school. So I'm trying to encourage them to learn about our football.
Mm.
So because, if a student from China or Myanmar, one of his friends might say, oh, who do you barrack for? And they say, I don't know what football's all about.
Mm.
I don't barrack for anyone. End of conversation.
Mm.
But if you say, I barrack for Collingwood or Carlton or Essendon or whatever, the conversation continues.
It's something.
That's right.
We've had a lot of discussion in our level 3, which is the highest level, lately about talking to people and the importance of it, and the students saying, I don't know what to talk about.
Mm.
So we talk about small talk, and how small it can be, because we also tell them what's probably not good to say to an Aussie, like, how old are you, or how much rent do you pay, or why have you only got one child, or things that people might say.
The Chinese are very upfront about how old you are.
Yes, a lot of those cultures are. So they laugh a lot when we tell them probably good not to say that, or don't ask about politics or religion straight off, because they say in their countries that's exactly what you might ask. So.
Well, they do. When I travel to particularly China, the first thing someone, they're very smart, the Asians, because they know I'm not Asian. They can tell straight away. So I'm sitting somewhere and I can see them hovering a little bit because they want to come and talk to you and they're a little bit shy.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a seat beside you, they'll eventually sit there. And I watch them do it because mm-hmm. they've done it a lot. And the first question is, oh, hello, where are you from? How old are you?
Yes.
So I tell them I'm a pig. So that they...
And they work it out.
They work it out. But fortunately for me, often they maybe it's their way of sort of flattering you. They give you 12 years younger than what you really are. And, oh, you don't look that old. And, oh, thank you.
Yes, well, we try and give them tips on how to have an acceptable conversation and how volunteering or joining something is a good way to integrate, because that's a big problem for especially the higher levels. They're ready to meet Australians and to edge closer to becoming part of the community, but they don't know how to do it, really.
Yeah.
That can cause a lot of angst.
Yep. So I was encouraging them to think about football, and one day we went down to a pub with a big screen when the footy was on, and there was about a dozen of them. We watched the footy, and some of them were very interested, and a lot of, there's about 10 or 15 going to the football at the MCG on the 19th. So that'll be an outing that I'll go along with them as well.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
And sometimes in the classroom we also arrange excursions.
Yes.
And what we take for granted is going to a cafe and have a cuppa. It's quite daunting.
Yes.
To a lot of them who don't speak English. And it's just having to order food and drinks.
Yes, we've done that.
They're over the moon when they get a chance to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and I've been into the city with them. We've been to art galleries and a river trip. And it's very interesting to hear their take on an art gallery, actually. They see often different nationalities see a lot more in a picture than we would.
Yeah.
They deconstruct it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the both of you really enjoy the program.
It's fantastic.
And what would you say to someone who hasn't tried this, might be thinking or considering this program? What would you say to them?
Just give it a go.
Give it a go. Yes, ring Sui Cheng and go and see her, and find out more. There's no commitment if by doing that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, if you do it once and you just don't like it, then that's fair enough.
Yeah. So, I guess where I'm coming from is it's not as daunting for someone who's not quite sure what's going on.
No.
Like I said, we do have training for them, but most of the time the learning is on the job, which is the fun part of it. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to take any inquiries that comes through.
So how can people get in touch with you if they want to volunteer?
So we do have an office number that you can call up. It's 972-6-1618. And if you call that up and ask about the volunteer program, they will give you the email that they can send in. And then everything else is communication through the email or phone calls or what have you.
Oh, so they ring that number. So you're wanting some information about the Migrant English Program.
Yep.
And then there'll be a standard email go out to them.
Yep.
And it'll have details of what to do.
Yeah, and if they're interested, they'll be sent out an online application form. And we take it from there. We have an interview just so that we are both comfortable knowing that this is the right program for them. And then once they get through that, then there's the training.
Yep. Okay, so that number is 972-6-1618.
Yep.
Now, we need to get onto the program itself a little bit. Time is on the wing. But about on the program itself, because there's probably listeners out there who I don't expect anyone from the migrant community or the refugee community to be listening to this program. They're probably not. But there's a lot of English-speaking people out there who know migrants and refugees whose English is not up to scratch. They might want to be able to tell them that this program is available, what it does, how they can get to join in on it. And although they might, you know, they might have relatives that they want to recommend this program to. So tell us a little bit about the program, how much it costs, how long you can stay there, those sort of things.
Well, the program is free.
Free?
Yes. So,
okay, I didn't know that, but anyway, the audience didn't.
At the moment, it's free.
Yeah.
The government has lifted the capping. So most of the migrants who have in the past stopped coming because they've been capped by the hours, now that it's reopened, they've come back to acquire more language. There's also another part of the school that is in need of volunteers, and that part is called the general education. And this part of the school caters for local residents, English-speaking, native-speaking residents. Therefore, whatever reason, might have missed out their main schooling, mainstream schooling, and now they've decided to come back to catch up or to further their studies after that. And some of the students in this cohort might have special needs, and we also need volunteers. So people with special skills in dealing with people with special needs, in digital skills, numeracy skills, and
English. And you teach maths and science and that sort of subjects.
Yeah, we also have that program in need of help. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it's a volunteer program, so... If you're out there and think, oh, it might be too hard, maths and science, you don't need to know any maths and science.
No, it's all under the direction of the teacher.
Yeah, and they're qualified, everything's fine.
But of course we cater to the volunteers' preferences as well and what they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So if they are comfortable with digital skills, then we will focus on that and try to make a good match.
Yeah. Okay, so it's free for migrants and refugees who want to come along. So how long can they come for?
At the moment, how long is this piece of string? I'm not sure.
So it's forever.
I wouldn't say it's forever. Nothing
but
realistic.
It's almost. Yeah, I know.
But at this point.
They can keep coming almost keep as long coming. As they can.
Mm-hmm. And this is daytime classes.
There is actually an evening class running right now. It caters for those who have part-time jobs or they're working the day but they still want to catch up with the English.
Mm-hmm.
So they come for an evening class.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three campuses for all of this. There's Hawthorne, Croydon and Wanturna.
And Wanturna, yes.
We're focused on Croydon.
Yes.
And where is the Croydon campus?
So the Croydon campus is on Norton Road.
Yep.
In Croydon.
It's opposite the running track.
And Wanturna campus is along Stud Road, Knox.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Hawthorne is, of course, at Hawthorne.
Mm. That's
Glen Ferry.
Glen Ferry.
Yep.
So all of what we've talked about is available at all three campuses?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You don't have to live in the Outer East for access this?
So where you live would be quite a determinant to assign you to whichever place. And, of course, volunteers can specify which campus they would like to work in. So some people might be living close by in Wanturna, but they work closer to Croydon and for whatever reason they prefer to come there.
Yeah.
That's fine too.
Yeah. Okay, so if someone knows how someone out there who might need this English program, how do they get in contact? Same telephone
number? Yeah.
Which is
9726-1618.
Okay, and so that's if you're out there and you know someone who would benefit from these English classes, some refugee or migrant, then ring that number and let them know. You can ring it for them and say, look, this class is available, can I ring it for you, and to help them that way. So if you know someone that would benefit, it's fantastic.
Yes.
And if you want to volunteer, same number, 9726-1618. Okay. You've got anything more you want to add?
And if it is the volunteer program that somebody is looking to get into, at the moment, they can contact me, Swee Ching.
Okay.
Yeah, so they can ask for,
get to that number
and just ask for me.
Ask for you, Swee Ching.
My work email and so on.
Oh, okay, then. So the number. Finally, you've got anything else to add?
I was just going to say that the range of classes for migrant English ranges from beginners up to level 3, which, as I said before, is quite high.
Yeah.
And it's a very different experience. I've been in a level beginner and level 1,
it's different.
And that can be hard work, but again, rewarding.
Very rewarding, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming in. I've been talking to Swee Ching and also Susan Powell for the Croydon campus of the Migrant English Program.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity.
And finally, the number is, once again, I've given it enough, you should have got a biro out, bit of paper and write it down. 9726-1618. You won't regret it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll get on with the program, and I'll just play some Kylie for us.